Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
Last Wednesday, I began talking about the warrior's heart, part one. And so tonight I want to talk about part two. Part one was a prayerful heart. Many times we talk about the weapons of our warfare, but how many understand that if you don't have the right heart, or if the person doesn't have the ability to use the weapon, then it's not any good. I've told this story many times, but quite a few years ago when my wife and I were first married, there was a serial rapist out on Panama City Beach where her and I lived. We lived in Panama. She worked on Panama City Beach. And there was a serial rapist out there. And I told her, I said, honey, we had a little pistol. I said, why don't you take this pistol with you as you go back and forth to work? And she said, oh, okay. I said, let me show you how to use it. She goes, I know how to use a pistol. I've been around guns. I know how to use a pistol. I said, oh, okay. So I just gave her the pistol, didn't give her any instruction, and she moved on in her journey. And so about a month or so later, they had already caught the serial rapist, and she was going to go to Mobile where my family lives, and she was going to go there. And I said, hey, do you have the pistols for, you know, you being on the road by yourself? She said, yeah, I do. But by the way, how do you cock this thing? And I said, oh, Jesus. And so I showed her, and I just was so appalled because she did not know how to use the weapon, that the weapon was not the issue, it was the person, all right? And so sometimes what the problem is, it's not the war, it's not the weapons of our warfare is the problem, it is the person. And many times when it comes to spiritual warfare, it's the person's heart. And so we dealt with that a warrior's heart needs to be a prayerful heart last Wednesday. And I won't reissue and rehash all of that from last week. But let me get on to tonight's, which is part two, the heart of obedience. Now, let me tell you, next Wednesday night, we've got a guest speaker coming. So we've had him booked for a while, and he's still going to come. So Dr. Tim Hines, who's a part of our church, he's going to be with us next Wednesday, and he's going to bring the word next Wednesday. So then I'm going to skip a week, and I'll come back with part three and possibly four. So go with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John, chapter 3, verses 21 through 24. 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 through 24. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence in God. I love Proverbs 4 tells us that guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Then verse 21 says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing. I want you to see that, man. Do they see this on their screen at home? I want you to see this, that whatever we ask and we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Okay, so let's go to the next one. We do those things that are pleasing in his sight. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of Jesus, or in the name of his son Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. All right, Lord, may you bless the reading of your word. Lord, I pray that you grant me that which makes preaching easy and effective, which is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. So let's talk about the heart of obedience. Because obedience is almost an ugly word in our society. Nobody, you know, we don't like to talk about obedience because somehow we think that robs us from some kind of a right. But I've come by to tell you that obedience gives you a right. That when we obey the commands, we have a right to ask Him what we want or what we need, and He is faithful and just to give us what we ask for. But most want to do whatever seems right in their own eyes. That's where most of us are. We want to do whatever we feel like doing, but yet because of this entitlement that has come on our country, that we want to do whatever we want to do, but still get a paycheck. And still, you know, we live any old kind of way, but we still want our spouse to be good to us. We want to do whatever we want to do, and there is no repercussions from our behavior. But I've come by to tell you that there are some repercussions. So Hebrews 2:1 says, "For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it." I like how the message put it. Here's what it said. It's crucial that we keep a firm grip on what we've heard so that we don't drift off. It's crucial, man, that in this day and time, when especially in the season which we're in, if you're not with people who are sharpening you, iron sharpens iron, if you're not with people who encourages you, if you don't keep a firm grip of what you've heard from God, then you will drift off and drift away. You do not have the time. You do not have the energy. You do not have the resources to drift away from God and find yourself apart from God. You need to be where God's called you to be. Amen, amen, and amen. So to be a spiritual warrior, then you have to walk with Jesus as an overcomer. And to be an overcomer, then you've got to do what Jesus says do. I need to grow in, here comes that ugly word, obedience to God and His word and His will in my life. I don't back up from that. You have to grow in the word of God. You got to grow in your obedience to God. You know, as I've grown in Jesus, there were things that God would let me get away with that He don't let me get away with anymore. You know, and it's just like growing up. When you're 2, it's not a big deal if you poop your pants. But when you're 22, it's a little bit bigger. Now, once you get to be 92, it kind of goes back to being okay again. But the reality is you can't continue to do things. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to obey God, then you've got to grow up in who God is. You got to grow up in doing what God's called you to do. You got to grow up in doing what the Word of God says that you need to do in order for the blessings of God to be a part of you. So, and a big portion of that is this whole message that I'm going to give you a bunch of sub points, but the whole message is, how do I become obedient? Don't you wish your kids would come in and go, "Mom, how? Dad, how do I become obedient?" Man, you would love that, wouldn't you? But how do I become obedient? Well, point number one, it starts with the heart. It starts with the heart. That's why disobedience is such a crucial thing, because it has to do with your heart. It has to do with your attitude. See, one of the ways that Israel did this, they had this prayer that they would pray, and Orthodox Jews still do it today, called the Shema. And it's the Shema prayer, and they would pray it once in the morning and pray it again in the evening. Matter of fact, when Goliath would come to torment the Israelites in that valley. He would come there and he would come in the morning while Shema was supposed to be going on, and he would come and torment them while they were trying to pray. He would torment them, and then in the afternoon, the evening, when they would begin to do the Shema again, he would come and torment them again. You wonder why the devil wants to try to keep you from your prayer life. You wonder why the devil tries to keep you from obeying God and reading the Word of God and having the Word of God in your life. It's because he don't want you to have a relationship with God. Because if you have a relationship with God, that means that there's been a change in your heart. And that's what God wants. Here's what the Shema would basically say. Hear, Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Blessed be the name of his glorious kingdom forever and ever. And as they would say that, Goliath would come and say, who will come out and fight me? Who do you think you are? The devil does the same thing to you. He wants to interrupt your time with God. Why is the Shema so important? Because according to rabbinical writings, it means to judge oneself and underlines the purpose of prayer for the Jews. Now, I check this out. Prayer is designed to allow you to look deep within yourself at your role in the universe and your relationship with God. God did not save you because you was in the neighborhood. God saved you for a purpose and a role, and he wants you to find out what your role is in the universe. Now, let me help some of you. Some of yours, your role is not to be the center of the universe. You do have a role. Many Jewish scholars believed that the Shema prayer was the most important prayer that the Jewish people would pray. The full Shema, from my study, is comprised of three paragraphs from the Torah. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, loving God, learning, teaching. Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 21, which is the positive and negative consequences of fulfilling the commands of God. What a concept. That there are advantages and disadvantages to obeying God. You know, if they would have ever understood that things would go so much easier for them if they would just do what I asked them to do. It would just go. I don't understand why they just would not understand that if you will do what Dad asks, your life would be so much better and less full of drama. And then the third one is Numbers 15, 37 through 41. So here's what I want to get into, though. So if you're going to get your heart right, and if you're going to find out how to be obedient, then you've got to get the Word in your heart. You got to get it in your heart, not just your mind, but in your heart. I know people who know the Word of God backwards and forward, but they can't live right. I know people who know the Word of God, but they don't have it in their heart. And there are so many people who are going to miss heaven by about 18 inches from their head to their heart. You need to have it here. Yes, have it here, but more than that, you need to have it here. The Bible said the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. Deuteronomy 6:6 says, the words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You got to get the Word into your heart. Because here's the deal, man. See, he said, write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. He's saying, get them inside of you. Remember the old Austin Myers, get in my belly. That's what this Bible is saying. Get the Word of God in your spirit. Get it in your heart. Because words without obedience will do us no good. Now, how many of you would like for your children to say, okay, Dad, okay, Mom, and not do what they just said they were going to do? Or how about your spouse? How about your loved ones? And they don't do what they just said they were going, what they just agreed to do. That's why words without action is no good. Yet, without words, without God's command, it is impossible to do. It is impossible to be obedient or to do the actions if you don't have the words. And some of us don't know what the Word of God says. because you never crack the Bible open except for on Sunday. Oh, preach, preacher, I'm trying to. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living, it is active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So you've got to get the word of God in your heart. Here comes another one. Obedience must be from the heart. It's one thing to get the word in the heart, but then obedience must come from that. Romans 6:17 says, "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed." Thanks be to God. You were slaves to sin, but became obedient from the heart. You hear the word, then you respond or react. You react to the word, and that's what brings about the deliverance. See, what was to be believed? A form of doctrine, a form of teaching. And the word meaning their form means to chisel out. Means to chisel out that from the heart to that form of teaching. That sometimes you got to chisel out the old stuff in order to let the new stuff get in. You got to have an old Roto-Rooter in your heart, man, and get some of the things that mama said and daddy said and your crazy aunt said, and quit believing what they say and start believing and get understanding what the Word of the Living God says, because that's what's going to bring victory in your life. So it means to chisel out, to make a statue, to make an image, check this out, to make an image from an original, a mold, a die that was cast. Now, if you're trying to think about this, think about the early printing press. Each letter had to be set, and then paper was laid over the type, and an impression, an original impression was made and transferred to the paper. So what I'm talking about tonight is that when I get a word from God in my heart, I become that original impression. Oh, help me somebody. When the word of God gets transferred in my heart, I become that original impression that I am what the word of God says I am. I can do what the word of God says I can do. I can become, and I don't have to be what I used to be, because I'm the original impression of the word of the living God. By God's word and his hand, I can be, I will be, you will be a true representation of his word and his will. Because you know why? Because we are true living letters. There are so many people who won't read the Bible, but they'll look at your life. We're supposed to be the epistles. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3 and 2 says, "You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on the tablets of stone, but on the tablets of human hearts." We ought to be the difference makers, especially during a time like this. We ought to have the hope. We ought to be carriers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But let them look at our life. Don't go around judging everybody and putting everybody down and casting your finger down and casting them down. No, be the love of God. Let them, if they want to know what a Christian looks like, be that example of what a Christian ought to be. Because here's the reality, man. Abraham and Isaac, they were an example of obedience in Genesis 22 and 1. They were examples of obedience. Most of you know the story, but for those of you who don't, that God told Abraham to offer his son Isaac. Now, what you got to remember, the backstory, is that Abraham got a word from God that God was going to bless him and Sarah with a son. And at 100 years old, without Viagra, he conceived a son. Let me just tell you, God, let me tell you right now, I'm half that age, but I do not want that kind of a blessing in my life. I don't want that. But Lord, he got that, and he was the son. They waited 25 years for the promise of this son. And now God is telling him to sacrifice him on the altar. Hebrews 11 says this, verse 17 and 19, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received back as a type. What is that saying? It's just saying that Abraham said, I'm going to do this because I know if God has to, he can resurrect it just to give me what he's already promised me. You see, he had be prepared to have your heart tested. Be prepared to have your heart of obedience tested by God. Because, well, does God not know? God knows, but many times we don't know. Now, being tested by obedience is not the same as being tempted. God said, I tempt no man. But when he tests you, he's trying to show you what's in your heart. Now, let me ask you this question before I go to my next point. What is God's test for you? And then, how are you doing? How are you doing on the test of God? Man, some of you are being tested right now because you're not around anybody that can encourage you and pump you up. And I hope that some of our broadcasts and some of our impromptu worship service and impromptu devotions help you as we try to do those on a several times a week basis. I hope it's encouraging you, but some of your obedience is being tested because you're not coming to church, and maybe you're not teaching your focus group, or you're not facilitating your focus group, and maybe you're just not doing what needs to be done, and so therefore you're not studying like you once did. You're not praying like you once did. You know, you don't have to pray that much anymore because some of you are not out in the world working, and so you know your faith is not being tested. You're just around your family. And some of your faith is being tested because you're around your family. And so that's just part of it. You know, I mean, some of your faith is being tested because you're homeschooling your kids. Amen. I had a kid call me the other day and ask for a transfer out of the teacher's class. And then I had a teacher try to transfer two students out of their class. But anyway, let's move on. Point number two is this. If you're going to have an obedient heart, give up what you have cherished most. Wait a minute, preacher. No, just listen to me. Give up what you have treasured most. You're asking in Genesis 22 and 2, basically Abraham's saying, you're asking me to give up my laughter. Isaac's name means laughter. The son of God's promise, born when Abraham was over 100 years old. That'll make you laugh. Or cry one, it'd make me cry. But they named him Isaac, which means laughter. And so he's saying, God, you're wanting me to give up the thing that I've cherished, the thing that I've hoped for, the thing that I've needed for the last 30 years. You know, you're trying to, some people say he was 13, some people say he was 17, even others say he was older than that. But I don't know how old he was, but here's what I know. He was old enough that I promise you he could have ran and got away from a 100-year-old man. But however, he said, you're telling me to give him up. All that I've ever wanted. Lord, I finally got the job that I wanted. I finally got the house. I finally got the family. I finally got the health. I finally got the looks. All that I have ever cherished in life, and the most of the most. And this is what God is asking Abraham to do. And this is what God asks us to do if we want to have truly obedient hearts. To give up what you've cherished most. Now, well, Pastor, do I got to give it all that? No, but you have to be willing. Are you willing to give up, knowing that whatever you have, God brought it to you anyway? And if you recognize God as the source of what you have and the source of who you are, then you realize that if God asks you to give it up, then he's going to give you something better on down the road. What are the things that God would have you surrender? If you want to be an obedient heart, what things have God talked to you about? What about habits that God's been dealing with you about? It's a good time to give them up. What habits that God has dealt with you about this? Not, maybe it's not sin, but maybe it's just weights that easily beset you, stuff that easily comes against you. What is God asking you to surrender? What is God asking you to give up? Point number three is this: Abraham and Isaac's obedience. Man, they had an amazing obedience. Both Abraham and Isaac demonstrated amazing obedience. Isaac, a type of Christ, that's another study, was obedient to his father. He did not question his father except to ask where the lamb was for the sacrifice. And Abraham answered, "My son, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering." I mean, again, I don't know too many people who could tell your children to get up on an altar and the child know what's about to happen and still get up there and do it. That's the relationship of father and son. That's the relationship of father. That Isaac had enough trust in his father to do whatever he asked him to do, because he trusted Abraham's relationship with God. Now, how does your obedience measure up with that of Abraham and of Isaac? How does that measure up, man? Let me ask you this. Point number four, let's talk about God's provision. Genesis 22, 13 and 14. God always provides what he needs. Or what he needs, yes, what we need. And if those of you who don't know the story, is he had him on the altar and he had the knife raised and he heard the angel of the Lord, or he heard something in the bushes. I believe that Isaac heard it first. Hey, Dad. I believe I hear something. Hang on before you come down on that. And there was a ram caught in the thicket. Jehovah Jireh, God sees, God provides. Let me ask you this. Let me just do this little exercise. What three things has God provided for you so far this year? Now, it's really easy to look at what we lost. It's real easy. Man, we've lost fellowship with the way that we normally do things, but we ain't lost fellowship. So what three things has God done for you? Well, Pastor, look at it. Just quit griping, quit complaining, and look at it. Look at your life. Did you have food on your table today? Did you eat today? Did you drive in a car today? Are you in a home or are you in a tent? And if you're in a tent, at least you're not out in the open. What three things has God prepared or provided for you? And why don't you go ahead and give him praise for what he has provided? And then point number five, and I'm done. Our blessing because of Abraham's obedience. Verse 18 says this: "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." See, because of Abraham, I'm blessed and you're blessed because of Abraham. Because of what Abraham did. Because of the obedience of Abraham. You and I are the offspring of Abraham. We get the blessings. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Let me say this to you. I know that many of my blessings come from my father and my mother's obeying the Lord. So whose obedience are you riding? Whose obedience are you riding? You see, who is blessed because of your obedience? Who is blessed because of your obedience? Let's go to the other side. Who is not blessed because of your disobedience? Wait, Pastor, don't put that on me. Yes, I am. Here's what I know. As the pastor of this church, every decision I make, I have to weigh on what I make because it affects other people. And every decision as the head of my family, I have to weigh. And you know, I've told this story many times. My wife and I, when we disagree on something, especially when it's the direction of the Lord or something like that, she'll say something like, "I disagree." And I'll say, "Well, you know, I'm going to have to hold on to what I felt like God said." And here's what she will say: "Okay, I've told you I disagree, So now that I've told you I disagree, she says, I submit to your authority. Now if we get in trouble, it's on you. And what I do is I have to back up and go, oh, I better make sure this is God. Because I'm responsible because of the obedience. Let me tell you this, man. Once you obey the Lord's voice, that seed that has been planted of obedience or whatever it is in the ground. And the devil can't do nothing about the seed that's already planted. Whether it be words, whether it be finances, whether it be acts, the devil cannot come, he cannot stop the seed that was planted. Oh my God. I hope you get that in your spirit. I hope you get that in your heart. You cannot stop the seed that has already been planted. The devil always attacks at the point of sowing the seed. So that's why I sow love. I sow as much grace as I can because I know that I need it. Come on, somebody. And you got to recognize who is blessed because of your obedience. Come on, worship team. Who is blessed because of your obedience? I pray that you would take a moment. Maybe right there in your family. All the children are looking at your mom and dad. Y'all obeying God? Because we want to be blessed. Wives, look at your husband. Are you leading us the direction that you need to lead us? Are you being what God's called you to be? Are you obeying God? Put them on the spot, man. Who is blessed because of your obedience? Pastor, do you believe that? 100% I do. 100%. So if you haven't been leading your family, if you haven't been obeying God, start where you are. You can't go back and undo what you've already done. Start where you are this day, tonight. God, I'm going to start leading my family in obedience. And as they see me obey your word, I'm going to blaze a trail for them to know what to do and how to do it. In the name of Jesus. Let me pray over you tonight. Father, I thank you for every person who's tuned in. For every person who's watched this live stream. God, I just want to be obedient to you. And God, sometimes it's not as black and white as some people think it is. Because Lord, my own thoughts come into my mind and pressures from within and pressures from without. And I have to weigh what is your will, what are you saying? But I cannot do that without the Word of God. That's how I recognize what you sound like. It's not the King James Version or the NIV Version that matters. I know what you talk like. And God, I know that you'll never go against your Word. Help me to be obedient to your Word. Help me to have a warrior's heart, the heart of obedience in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, lead us out of this tonight. God bless you. Don't forget, 9:30 Sunday morning, 11 o'clock in the field. We will be online at 9:30, not at 11. We will be out in the field for drive-in church. God bless you. I hope you have a great week. Blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.